It was a ligament.
And that was also, it was. And I was also glad a week after he didn't play much because I didn't want no lineman fainting on me when I saw that. Yeah, but I broke some fingers.
Okay, so you broke it.
Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, that's what else is new.
Okay.
All right. Back to the topic.
All right, back to our two topics because him and I have been arguing back and forth.
There we go again.
Imagine. I know exactly. I can't even get through my show.
Good cop, bad cop.
Okay, so we're talking about the Bears game last night. It was not very good.
I want to be the good cop.
But I did do well in the betting.
Well, it was a very bad-looking game. So he said, this is a trap game. I'm like, okay, my definition of a trap game is sort of like what I just talked about a little bit with Coach Napier. You have a 1-6 team that they're about to face in Texas State, and then the following week's Appalachian State, a much better opponent. The Saints aren't facing the Jets with Tampa on the horizon or the Jags. Then, to me, this could be a possible trap game. Now, I don't think regardless the Saints are in a position where anything's a trap because right now they're still improving. They're not a finished product completely. They're getting better. And I don't think that that's kind of their mentality. We've seen them sort of be consistent on that. So that's why I really don't think trap applies. But I used the term dangerous in terms of all week. It started last night and it's continued this morning. The Bears are going to be disrespected. You're going to hear how terrible they are. This offense is garbage. Nagy can't call plays. Foles can't throw. They can't run. The defense isn't. So, you've been in a locker room. It's either going to galvanize you or it's going to make people point fingers. Now, they're 5-2. So, again, and another reason I told Jordan, it's not a trap game. They have one more win than you. Now, he's going to go to the, well, who do they want? I don't care.
No.
In the standings, they have one more win than you.
They beat Tampa. So,
they have one more win than you. And you're, again, there's no position for the Saints to think trap. They have they're a better record than you. It's not so. I don't call it a trap. He calls it trap. I call it dangerous. What would you call this game Sunday?
Well, after you explained it, I can understand your explanation to it. I do agree upon where it's a bad team and you lose to. That's a trap game in my books. If you're you're better than them and you should beat them, you should take care of business. You lose to me, that's a trap game because knowing. Depending on what you have coming after. You got Tampa Bay coming after. So that's why, are they looking ahead to Tampa Bay playing this game? It's on the road. So it's kind of,
that's another reason why I don't think it's a trap game.
I don't think
they played more bad games in Chicago than good games.
I would not think it's a trap game. Yeah. It's a desperate game in my book because you don't want to go on the road and have to play Chicago at their place and lose and then come back home. Come back and play a Tampa Bay team
on the road. Exactly
on the road, yeah. And I'll say this: that this is not going to be an easy game for the New Orleans Saints. People look at it. Well, that's all I heard prior to coming in here, listening to another station, listening as we come in here, and I overheard them talk really about the Chicago Bears. There's no offense. This that they got a great defense. I think the Saints can't go in here looking at the Tampa Bay game in 2 weeks. They must take care of business because this is a game that can definitely win, and it's one that they can definitely slip up and lose. And the Saints didn't play great this past weekend with their win against the Carolina Panthers. So they are, like you said, they're improving. They have to get better. The Saints, and this is the perfect time to go on the road because you have to play again on the road next week. So it's a game where is it a must win? That's probably a better question. Is this a must win for New Orleans? Yes, it is. It is a must win.
Question.
I think it's a must win because you lose this game, going on the road again to Tampa next week, who's playing probably the hottest football right now with a quarterback that's older than and I believe this Bears team with their defense can give Saints a lot of problems. It's going to be a low-scoring game, I believe.
Jordan?
No, I agree with everything that John said. I do see both of y'all's point with the trap game and a dangerous game. I'm kind of on both sides. I think it could be kind of the same thing at the same time. I'm going to split it right down the middle. But I'm worried about the Saints secondary that we've kind of been harping on these past couple days. That's the big thing for me. Like we have up on the wall, John, we said if the Bears throw for 350 or more yards and for three touchdown passes, and you got a problem.
If that happens, I don't see the Bears doing it just because that's not their deal offensively. I think they're trying to – their Bears go back to the old style and maybe go back to what Tennessee-style offense, play good defense, run the ball, keep it a low-scoring game. You're not like what you see with, you know, the Tampa Bays or the Green Bay Packers. Let's score as many points as we can and hope our defense hangs in there and we win the football game. That's what more or less the NFL's become. Very few teams now say, let's have a good defense. Baltimore Ravens, mm-hmm. you know, we got a good quarterback. I think the Bears say, look, the Saints coming in and we can control them. But if the Saints go in this football game and they give up well over 250 yards passing, they got issues, and it ain't just issues of personnel. It's defensive personnel issues, not the offense side. The Saints' offense, we feel like they could score against anybody at least 24 points.
Well, there's two reasons that I think the Saints I can be confident going into this week's game, and I know, look, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be a storyline. 38 degrees. Rod Walker of the Advocate tweeting right now. He looked at the forecast. 44 feels like 38. Winds out of the northwest, 13 miles an hour, 4% participation. Again, it's Tuesday, but that's what's projected on Sunday. Bottom line is this, though. The one thing I have liked is the Saints are doing two things when it comes to the run. They are running the football.
Running more.
And they're stopping the run.
Yep.
So those are two good things that will travel, John. They will travel in any kind of weather, and they will travel in any kind of environment at any time of the year. If you can run the football and you can stop the run, that's halfway to getting to a victory, if you ask me.
Well, I'm going to look at it like this way. Just look at the last, like the Bears. They beat Tampa Bay at home, low scoring game. Mm-hmm. It was you know, a lot of mistakes by Tampa Bay. And I believe they
11
went
penalties,
on,
I want to say,
I
in that
believe
game.
They went on a road, the Bears did prior to this past game against the Rams. They won a road game that they snuck out and won. And so I look at it now, they played the Rams. So they're not scoring a lot of points offensively. So that should be, if the Saints defense can just show up and play like stopping the run. Mm-hmm. And now they can say, well, if you stop the run, the Bears must throw the football.
Right.
And like Jordan says, the secondary gives up a lot of passing yards, and you got issues. Well, if the Saints can get back to that, what we saw last year, we discussed it, they just got to be in the middle of the pack. They don't have to go up there and be a dominant, give up 10 points. Just be in the middle of the pack. If they say give up 17 to 20 points, the Saints should win the game, because I think – on paper, Saints should easily score 24 points, even though against a good Bears team, the Saints are capable of scoring that. If the Bears team comes out and puts 30 on the Saints, they got problems.
Yeah, a few minutes ago, Matt Nagy, head coach of your Chicago Bears, I'm not opposed to giving up play calling, but right now I do not need to.
Have you seen that's been happening with the NFL lately? Guys are giving up their play calling, still getting beat. It's hard when you're a head coach and in the play caller. And so you see a lot more of that in NFLs where head coaches who are offensive minded don't want to give up the play calling. If you're a defensive head coach where you get to do play calling, they kind of mix in with their defensive coordinator guy. But offensively, you know, you look at Kansas City, for example. Look, you know who calls the plays in Kansas City. It's
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. And they all want to say, oh, the offense coordinator, the other guy, the running back guy, Bellamy or whatever mm-hmm. his name is.
Bienemy.
They talk about him being a guy. No, it's definitely Andy Reid. So when you see Nagy in Chicago, who the heck is his offense coordinator? It's like the Saints with Sean Payton. We all know Carmichael's there. He's not calling plays. They might talk about it, but the final plays – selection goes through the head coach, well, who is an offensive coordinator.
I think what's interesting, you look at the games the Bears have played, right? They won week one, 27-23. Won week two against the Giants, 17-13.
Yeah.
Made the quarterback change to win that game 30-26, which was their biggest offensive performance. Lost against the Colts, putting up 11 points. Beat the Bucks 20-19.
Right.
Beat the Panthers 23-16. And lost by putting up 10 points
right.
yesterday. This isn't an explosive offense.
Right.
So, again, and primarily, it should be easier for me to, in theory, defend, knowing my guys up front can stop the run mm-hmm. to try to stop their pass, and they're not explosive.
Right.
So, I got to harp. Hey, guys, you got to tackle this week, and you got to do the right coverages. If you do that, my front line should be able to stop the Bears and get pressure. Should. And on offense, just do what you've been doing. Just do what you've been doing, I think, and then you can get out of there
with
the win.
Like I said, we all know this. How often have you seen the Saints 20 points and less.
Right.
Even against great teams.
Right.
You know, so that's why I'm thinking the Saints are going to put anywhere from 24 right. to 27 points on this Bears defense. If you can get your defense to say, look, if we were to give up 20 points, we should not lose because we know we have Drew Brees, Sean Payton can put up 24 or better. So, you know, you got to look at that saying, well, the Bears just don't score a lot of points, but they do hang in the football game. If you keep it close enough and you get a mistake one way or the other, that could cost you, aka Tampa Bay Bucks.
Now, one of the other things as we hit our first break here, when you look at it on how the Saints have been able to play on the offensive side of things, again, this is probably one of the good things when you're playing in this weather. Saints offense is dependent on throwing the ball deep and airing it out, all that. The short intermediate game, the screen game, things of that nature. So I think the Saints are prepared to go in as any time to go into Chicago when it's cold and get this win. This is why I call it a dangerous, not trap game. I think, look, right. You got to go take care of your business. And then you worry about Tampa, but you gotta go take care of your business.
You say a trap game. It's against a Jets undefeated.
Is a trap.
That's a trap game. Right. But you know, you're looking ahead. Who you got now? Everybody can say, well, they're looking ahead to Tampa Bay. The Saints lose this game. They'll say, well, they were looking ahead to Tampa. No, this Bears not a bad team.
Hour two is brought to you by Vinny's 3217 Ridge Lane Drive in Menor. We'll be there on Thursday. It's the Sports Hangover and your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
At Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Homa, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Ram Power Days event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Hello, this is Brandy Odimont, owner of Coastal Casualty Insurance Agency, a global green independent insurance franchise. We offer all lines of insurance products, specializing in home, auto, marine, commercial, and life insurance. With over 27 years of experience and our competitive pricing and carrier lineup, let us do the insurance shopping for you and come be part of our family where you're more than just a number. More choices, better service. Call 985-532-5355 or visit coastalcasualty.net or find us on Facebook.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill, John Forcade, Jordan Kleber here in Metairie. Coming up at 1:45, Brendan Mathurin will give you the very latest on what's going on with Hurricane Zeta. To pay attention, Willie Fritz, bottom of the hour. Scott Walker, Jefferson Parish City Councilman. Parish Councilman will join us at 2:45 to give us the latest on JP. Stan Van Gundy, introductory press conference. David Griffin, Mrs. Benson will be a part of that as well. That is at 2 o'clock, Jordan. We plan on taking that and airing it so you can hear Stan Van Gundy being introduced officially at his presser via Zoom. That's how it works now today, to do that as well. So we're having this conversation about trap game or not when it comes to the Bears. The other thing we've been having a conversation on, John, is Tom Brady an MVP candidate? Nationally, I mean, he's getting a ton of love, obviously. I think the last 2 weeks he's elevated himself to putting that. It was Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, right. Aaron Rodgers among the top three, probably. Allen's kind of fallen back. Rodgers lost to Brady. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson lost to Murray, but I still think a lot of people feel, look, Russell Wilson's Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I said he absolutely is, because he took a team that's been having talent for the last several years and brought steady quarterback play, playmaking ability, but more importantly, is leading that team. People are joking that he's telling Bruce Arians what to do, right, with Antonio Brown. Like, he brought excitement, he brought stability, and more importantly, I think confidence to a locker room. When a guy comes in like that, people probably listen, probably do what they do. He had people working out with them. He didn't. So to me, yeah, absolutely. Look, they're 5-2, and it's not me, Jordan. It's people outside saying they're absolutely a team to consider in the NFC to win. So if that's the case, I think he's an MVP candidate. He says no. What do you say?
Let me throw this out there to you, both you guys here and the listeners out there. Where would Tampa Bay be right now if it was Winston as the quarterback? They would not be 5-2. All right. You remember early in the season, oh, he's too old, man. He's playing bad. Look what he did against New Orleans. Yes, he's a candidate for the MVP as of what we saw last couple of weeks. Now, let's not go crazy, because there's a lot of football left to be played. You had some names here: Packers with Aaron Rodgers, Allen with Buffalo, and Wilson with, you know, the Seattle. You even had Lamar Jackson, who I think has fallen off big time from last season. Granted, he got banged up a little bit, but that's going to happen when running quarterbacks. Yes, you have to put him up there, because right now you could talk about a lot of guys. You know, who's the MVP? Who are the guys that you would sit there and say MVP candidates? But you know what? You can't do it till the last five games of the season. I think let's get through 10 games, you know, 11 games, and then you start jockeying for position. It's like a horse race. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go out of the chute right now, look great, but boy, that making that last turn, that's when you determine who's the guys. And I think he's going to be there, because the team has played better.
Right.
They're in a good conference right now, where they know they got to compete week in and week out. It's just the Saints and them. You know, you might slip up every now and against Atlanta. Atlanta can scare you, and so can Carolina. But from an overall picture, I think Tom Brady is in the runnings, or should be talked about as an MVP candidate. Will he get it? Who knows? But it's good to have him up there, because it's something to talk about. And the team's 5-2.
Now you tell John why you don't think. Not yet. Well, first, he is.
I don't think he's an MVP candidate, because your same argument, you said, well, once you take Winston out, and to you and Gus's argument with the 30 interceptions, look where he is right now. He's not even starting in the NFL. He's on the Saints bench right now. He's one of their quarterbacks, but he hasn't played a snap in the regular season. So I think from that aspect, you can't really use that argument, because he's not a starter in the league anymore. I think if you put in a decent quarterback on Tampa Bay, they could be doing the same exact things that they're doing now with Tom Brady. And that's my point in the argument. I think you could take another quarterback that's in the league right now, like a Russell Wilson,
an MVP candidate.
Okay, Josh Allen, you could put on that team.
Who was an MVP candidate earlier in the season. Keep going.
I think you could put Joe Burrow on that team, and they'd be in the same position that
they
are right now.
Who is setting records, by the way, in yards passed?
And you could also put Justin Herbert, who's also a Rookie of the Year candidate.
I see your point, where you're trying to go with it, but Tom Brady has done this anywhere. I mean, look. All right. What is New England doing right now without Tom Brady?
Yep. How's that going, by the way?
But at the same time,
You're not answering the question.
Tom Brady credit for what he has done. Right. Tampa Bay just ain't going to plug in any other quarterback. I promise you, you could not take any other. Because, look, Winston was still a good enough athlete. He played well for Tampa Bay, but he's cost him some games when he threw all the picks. He's still a good quarterback, because he's not starting in the league now. It just goes to show you he's not very good to be playing in the league now.
Would you say that Tom Brady has more talent on his team than Cam Newton has in New England?
Tom Brady, yeah, I think Tom Brady has more talent.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to have somebody to pull that trigger. There's a lot of teams right now with some really good talent. Oh, look, the NFL's all of them got talent. I think the Atlanta Falcons has some good talent. They blew some games. They're a bad team right now. But there's other teams that you look at that's got some great talent, but – you know, does coaches make the bad decision? Is your defense not playing well? I think Tom Brady has stepped up the guys of talent that's around him, makes them better players, because they know that we don't have a Winston in there that can throw the pick or do bad. We got Tom Brady, who understands how to play the game better than what Winston had.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into those two conversations that we are having, or arguments when it comes to me, the intern, as well as replies over on Twitter. Give me one Twitter, and then we'll go to the phone.
All right, socially distanced Saint, I agree with Jordan. It's too soon.
It's too soon.
There's okay. There's a few more
that's
that we
fine.
Can we could go
that's
through.
That's fine. Brian, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you?
I love when I get to talk to the show host, Jordan Kleber, man. I love it.
Here we go.
Thank you, Brian. You know, thank you.
What's up, Brian? I haven't seen you talk to you in a while, my friend.
What's going on, my brother? It's good to hear from you, John, man. Always good, you know, when you're on air, brother.
I hear you, my friend. Glad. Hope things are going well for you now. Let's get back to you and Jordan. You're going to rip him up and down. I got to hear this one.
They just called him the show host. Oh, so no, am I wrong on
no,
this?
No, man. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say wrong. I don't think either of you guys are wrong. I think you both are making valid points. But I will say that my argument is probably going to back up Jordan, and it goes along with the phone call that you guys had on earlier, who was saying that, you know, everybody kind of wrote the Bucks off in the offseason and said that they weren't going to be very good. Well, I've always maintained that I thought the Bucks would have a roller coaster season. Now, fortunately for them, they play a lot of bad teams. I mean, let's think about it. They've only played two teams with a winning record thus far. They're 1-1 in those games. They lost to the Saints. That was early. And then they lost to the Bears, which was recent, and then they beat the Packers after a bounce-back game. So I'm not trying to get too far ahead of this and saying that Brady's the savior, he's the MVP of the league. I still think there's some other guys that have a lot to say about that, mainly a guy in Seattle named Russell Wilson.
So I call him the MVP. He's an MVP candidate, like a Heisman candidate.
You got to have three or four guys in the running.
That's what I'm saying. He's easily one of the five people you're considering right now. You're shaking your head. You're not even putting him in the five.
Not yet. That's
not
why
yet.
It's too soon.
Okay, name me the five.
Name me five.
All right,
I'm gonna say Russell Wilson. Okay. You're Patrick Mahomes because he's always gonna be in there from.
I wouldn't put him in there
from
right
here
now.
On out. Lamar Jackson's gonna be in there.
Okay.
Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers.
You're gonna put Josh Allen over Brady right now?
No, actually, yeah.
Okay, Brian, give me your top five MVP candidates right now.
I think it's close. I'd probably leave Josh Allen off. Maybe I slide Tom Brady up in there, man. But, I mean, there's a lot of – I mean, I could put Alvin Kamara and make a hell of an argument for him considering what he's doing for the New Orleans Saints with no Michael Thomas. Last week there was no Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, so let's just not always make this about quarterbacks, which is what the – you know, we always do in the media. It's always the quarterback gets all the credit or all the blame. Well, you know, we can always, you know, add another player to that. Aaron Donald over there playing for the, you know, Los Angeles Rams. We saw that last night. Who the hell can block that guy right now? He should always be in the MVP conversation because nobody can block him. I saw a play last night in which the Rams slipped three offensive linemen towards him, and he still was able to affect the quarterback play. So let's not leave out other guys just because we love the sexy pick in the quarterback. So I agree with Jordan when I say, you know, if I want to make an argument, I can find five guys above Tom Brady, especially because, again, Tom Brady is 1-1 against teams with winning records right now. I think it's time to pump the brakes a little bit on the Tampa train, especially because we're going to see what comes up when they have this gauntlet. They're going to play the Carolina Panthers with Christian McCaffrey. They're going to play the Saints. They're going to play the Ravens. They're going to play the Chiefs. Let me know if he goes 4-0 in those games, and then I'll tell you if he's the MVP.
Well, Brian, that's what I was saying. You know, this is just candidate. When you get to about 10 games in the season, then you start your who do you think the MVP candidates are. It's way too early right now. I totally agree with the fact that this is way too early. Now, for when it comes to winning and losing against teams, I don't think you can do that. You know, oh, there's a bad team. Nah, because let me say something right now. Any team on any given day, even the Jets, could come out and beat somebody. You know, if you're flat and overlooking somebody, you just can't look at that. I've never been one to say, oh, there were records against winning teams or losing teams. Anybody can beat anybody. It's not like college football where, you know, the Clemsons of the world is going to beat, you know, anybody, or the Alabamas. And this is the NFL. Let's wait to week 10, and let's see how these records and these teams are doing then. And then you can say, okay, here's my five top guys, because, you know, anything can happen.
Brian, I got to get to head coach Willie Fritz here in a quick second, so I got to let you go. But trap game, dangerous game, what kind of game is this for the Saints on Sunday?
It's not a trap game because the Bears have a winning record. So I'm going to say it with you, Gus. I'm going to agree with you there. I think this is a dangerous game, and hopefully Coach Fritz can get back on the winning trail, man. I saw the guys play last week. They just did look a little bit out of sorts, man, so hopefully the Waves can bounce back.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the phone call,
Thank you, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Good talk to you, as always.
All right. Let's go to line four quickly before we get to Coach Fritz. What you got, man? What's your name?
Hey, guys, look. Derrick Henry right now is your MVP, okay? He's a running back, but he's your MVP. Tennessee is nowhere without that dude. okay? And let me put another one to you. Berger is 6-0, okay? He hasn't played all world, but they're nowhere without Roethlisberger. I can tell you that right now. So before you put Tom Brady, those two guys are ahead of him. You know Pat Mahomes is ahead of him, okay? And if you don't put Aaron Donald in that top five, then y'all are smoking something. That dude was unblockable last night. Did you watch the game?
Mm-hmm.
That dude there is dynamic, okay? So if any other year it was to where a quarterback is not going to make it, Derrick Henry and Aaron Donald are your two best players in this league right now. If you ask me, you need a yard, you give it to that dude. You need a stop, you make sure that guy, Aaron Donald's in the game. It starts and stops with those two guys, fellas.
All right, man. Thank you for the phone call, man.
John, I may have a comment, but I'm going to do it after we talk to Coach first because it deals with winning and losing record. You might have all the stats, but if you've got a team that's losing, you can't give him MVP for that.
I didn't say I was giving him the MVP.
No, I know what you're saying.
I think he's a candidate.
I agree with the call.
But there's a lot. Look, Kamara is something interesting. Matt Moscona brought that up yesterday, and I agree with him right now. Where would the Saints' offense be without that guy? The Saints have four wins each. Head coach Willie Fritz will talk about this Tulane Greenway football team next on ESPN New Orleans.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Redbox has something for everyone, along with a new comedy that can't be missed. The King of Staten Island, starring Pete Davidson, is now available at the box and streaming on demand. Directed by Judd Apatow, The King of Staten Island is laugh-out-loud funny, but will surprise you with a truly heartfelt story. It also features an all-star cast starring Marissa Tomei, Bill Burr, Steve Buscemi, and more. Rent The King of Staten Island tonight, along with other new movies at Redbox. Make it a movie night and visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? If you're looking for new headlights and wipers, we recommend replacing in pairs. That way you'll have better visibility, especially with the weather changing. And there's no better time to do the job than during our first ever visibility event, October 25th to November 1st, where AutoZone Rewards members can get a $25 bonus reward when they buy two select Sylvania headlights and two Rain-X wiper blades. Restrictions apply. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Fall is in the air. Fall projects are on the list, and the Home Depot is ready with more ways than ever to help. Use our mobile app to search, shop, and save. Choose flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. You won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Take on fall and fall projects now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Sports Hangover, which we do each and every Tuesday around this time. We welcome in head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave to talk about his football club. Coach, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon to y'all.
We had Coach Napier on at 12:45. I asked him the question. Now, he's in Lafayette. Obviously, we're in New Orleans. We know what's coming tomorrow. Zeta, Hurricane Zeta, how have you changed your plans? How does it affect you guys getting ready and preparing for Tulsa?
Well, we got Old Temple this week.
Yep. But, that's what I meant. That's what I meant, Temple.
But, you know, we went out to practice this morning. It looked like it was going to hit tomorrow morning. And we're figuring out what we're going to try to do tomorrow morning because we practice in the morning because of class schedule for our guys. And
mm-hmm.
Now it looks like we're going to be okay tomorrow morning and it's going to be more than another day. So, you know, we just make alternative plans with meetings. It's tough right now because it's hard for us to get indoor, you know, right now for obvious reasons. We can't go over and use the same facility in Metairie and they've got a Osher's got something going on down at the Dome. So you know, we're going to see if we can maybe use the gym and kind of split guys up, going in, you know, half groups at a time, so we don't have too many guys in there to, you know, follow proper protocol. So just always, you know, we've had a few of these deals so far this season, and, you know, you just always got to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking with head coach Willie Fritz, I had Tulsa on my mind because you guys an hour ago announced that Tulsa will now be on Thursday, November 19th at 6:30 on ESPN. That Memphis game has been moved to the 28th. We'll wait to see a TV in time there. So, Coach Shaw, this past weekend you guys got to see UCF. And I got to tell you, you know, it's interesting. You look at that first half, a tale of two quarters, right? In that first quarter, you guys had the lead. You went back and forth answering scoring drives and scoring drives of your own. Just touch on what that first quarter was like, being able to see your offense come out. Look, and I thought confidently and aggressively, first plays in your possessions, you were throwing the ball down the field, man.
Yeah, we did a nice job offensively, you know, to start the game off. You know, unfortunately, you play a, you know, number one offense in the country. You got to match firepower with firepower. You got to do a great job of slowing them down defensively. We weren't able to, you know, continue, you know, the hot streak that we started with, you know, throughout the ball game. Offensively, you know, they did a good job of converting on third and fourth down. We got them in a lot of third down situations. Unfortunately, they were able to, you know, hit and get some first downs and extend drives. And, you know, right now that's been our problem that we've had so far. It's just not doing a great job with third down offense, to be honest with you. And also third down defense has really hurt us, you know, over the last, few weeks, so that's an area that we're evaluating, looking at, practicing, you know, and you know, trying to do the best job we can with our call sheets, you know, on those very, very important downs.
Coach, when you look at that second quarter when they put up 27 unanswered, was it adjustments? They got pressure on Michael Pratt, your quarterback there, a couple of punts there, and then what were their adjustments on the offensive end that they did against your defense?
Well, I think, you know, defensively, I think we surprised a little bit. We were rushing three and dropping eight, and it gave them some problems. But they did a good job of adjusting to it. They've seen everything with their style of offense, and, you know, they've been running it for a long period of time, and they did a good job with adjustments. And, you know, the one that really hurt us was right before halftime. We had a chance if we ran a little give read with the quarterback. You know, if we gave it, we thought we had a really big rip. Unfortunately, we pulled it, had to punt it, and then they scored right before halftime. And, you know, that made it difficult when that occurred. So, you know, when you play a quality team like that, you just got to play well in all three phases. Unfortunately, we didn't do that.
Speak with head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave as they took on UCF over the weekend. You come out of the locker room at halftime, and again, though, a trait of your football teams, you guys don't quit and you battle back. What were some of the adjustments, I guess, you made in the second half, or was it just the simplistic way of looking at it, Coach, just making plays?
Well, we changed what we were doing defensively. We went back to, you know, kind of our base, four-man front, and, you know, played more man coverage, and that gave us, a little more success. And then offensively, I think it was just, you know, about execution. There's some run plays that were there for the take, and we did a good job being patient and running the ball. But a very explosive offense. You just got to match them. You know, your formula to win against them is you're going to have to score points. You know, there's not very many teams that are going to beat them, you know, 17-14. You got to put points on the board. And, just weren't able to, you know, have as much firepower as we needed to throughout the ball game. And, had a tough time slowing them down defensively. They spread you out, and they did a good job of making the plays when they had to.
Coach, quarterback Michael Pratt, I don't want to, I guess, over-exaggerate or overstate perhaps, but even on social media as the game's going on, and I'm paying attention to it, obviously you're a coaching coach, but even afterwards, one of the bright spots that many are saying is, look, Tulane's got a QB, man. They got a guy that seems to be calm under pressure, even when the going a certain way, it's making great throws. Look, I think, Coach, and you would tell me because you saw the game film, There were probably two big passes that should have been pass interference on UCF that were incompletions. One turned to be an interception. I love the poise of Pratt, man.
No, he really plays like an experienced guy. He's, runs the ball a little bit better than you think. And, you know, just he's got a lot of poise back there. He's very accurate, you know, throws all the different types of balls you're looking for. And, you know, he can get in there with some zip. He can touch the short balls. He also does a good job of letting the guys run under the deep passes. I've been very, very impressed with him. I think he gets a little bit better each and every week.
Coach, one of the things I asked Steve Berrios in the pregame was, when you know now that Tulane's going to throw the football and you guys, again, first play of the game, you threw deep, it's an opportunity to see what receiver, and I know John Forkett asked you that last week, what receiver's going to maybe step up and an opportunity to do that. Do you think Watts can be one of those players to do that, induce? I mean, you kind of saw that in Jaquan Jackson as well, had some nice grabs, some nice long catches for you.
Yeah, Jaquan had a very good game. Had a nice touchdown catch, had a big punt return for us, had a couple third down catches. And, you know, Deuce Watts, I think, is, you know, last year when he played at Jones, quarterback got hurt. He was hurt, didn't really get to show everything he could do and didn't get to practice the whole season. He's getting better every week, just like Michael Pratt is. And he's a taller guy, good speed, you know, and can do a good job of you know, on the deep ball. But each week, you know, when you're trying to spread them out and throw the ball around, particularly when teams are playing man, you know, you got to have a bunch of guys step up, and those two certainly have.
All right, you take us to obviously the game coming up Saturday morning. It's going to be at 11 a.m. Guys, hosting Temple. The Owls 1-2 on the season, 1-2 in conference play. When you put on the tape, what do you see?
Big team. You know, you've seen it before in person. They're really big offensive line, defensive line, secondary. They're a little bigger than most of the teams that you play. Experienced quarterback. He's started now. This is his third year as a starter. You know, really does a good job of running the offense for him. A couple good backs. You know, a draft pick kind of receiver that'll be out on the perimeter, number one, Mac kid. So just a big physical, you know, a Temple team that they've, you know, been playing with for years.
Coach, obviously, it's not where you want it to be, the win-loss record going into it, but obviously, I even mentioned it in this interview, your team doesn't know how to quit it, fights, and how has practice sort of gone this week, and what's the message going into this Temple game?
Well, it's gone great. The kids did a great job this morning. It was super practice, very competitive, and, you know, just, you know, I told them on Monday when I had our team meeting, one thing I'm going to teach you, it's going to be how to fight back through adversity. You know, the kids do a great job of that. I'm proud of them. We've had some, you know, some tough luck this year, you know, but there's a lot of football left to play. And, you know, we want to improve each and every week, and we certainly want to start doing that this weekend against Temple.
Tulane Temple, 11 a.m. this Saturday morning. And, again, that game against Tulsa has been moved to 6:30 on November 19th, and the Memphis game officially now moved to November 28th. Head coach Willie Fritz joins us on Tuesdays around this time at 1:30 to talk about his football team. Good luck this Saturday, Coach.
Thank you, Josh.
John, one of the things that I want to get into here before we wrap up this segment is when you take a look at college football the way it is right now, man, it's in this conference, too, it's crazy. So we saw SMU the last couple, you know, weeks. These are the teams that Tulane's play, right? Houston, you see that offense, the way they've been able to go. SMU, very similar to Tulane, but again, playmakers at the skill positions and receivers there, and just being able to make a play or two. I think Tulane could have had that one. And then you look at UCF. I mean, 600 plus yards is the norm for that. I mean, that's cool. But John, when you watch the game and you call it, it's not bombs away or spectacular. Right. It's, you know, it's 10, 15 yard throws or screens or end arounds, and then their guys go make a 6 yard catch, a 16 yard catch. And next thing you know, their scoring drives are /12, you know what I mean? Like, so, but that's the American conference.
I was trying to think, it's a good conference.
You better have a quarterback. And that's what I was trying to get at.
Totally agree.
Moving forward, I think Tulane's got that. So now you build towards it. Now, you know, you get your line. I mean, that's another thing Coach Fritz talked about.
In a break, I was kind of yelling, looking at you, saying, Tulane now needs to revamp their offense. And I mean by this, this kid can throw the football.
Right. They've been a running team.
They need to get away from the RPOs and stuff. If you kick it, throw the football, all right, let's try to throw 30-something times a game. Mm-hmm. That's going to get you in this conference nowadays. You can't win throwing 20 passes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. College football, if you got a guy throwing, unless you're Clemson or somebody, Alabama, that's dominating other areas. But now Nick Saban and all the guys, you got to throw the football.
In this conference?
In this conference here, you better throw the ball 30-something times.
If you have to, if that game calls for it, right? Because Alabama, and that's what I'm getting at, Alabama was able to, when they were facing Ole Miss, have to also put up almost 700 yards.
You have to.
That's not what they normally
are. It's not 10 games. Right. You got to do it. It's 4 or 5 games.
I'm getting at. I mean, you got it. But, you know, they have a running back that scored 5 TDs. They got a quarterback that can throw it. So, again, that's Bama. But my point is, you better have that. I just don't know how you build your defense. You got to almost sit there and be like, holding the field goals. And
I think this conference right here with Tulane's in is almost like the Big 10, Big 12.
Yeah, I just,
it's almost,
I don't know how you build your defense.
Not much defense.
Yeah, I don't know. Sports Hangover continues. Where we return, we'll get you the very latest from LaFouche as Brennan Mathurin will join us. As hurricane preparations for Zeta come in, we'll pass along that info next on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime.